The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
Hey, it's been a lot of serious news this morning, so I thought I would give you a dad joke. We need a dad joke. It's been a while since we had a dad joke, so I think Friday was the last time we ended up doing one. And Russ and Donna ended up contributing today's dad joke. What weighs more, a gallon of water or a gallon of butane? Well, obviously a gallon of water, because butane is a lighter fluid. Russ, thanks for that, okay? Email of the day, by the way, is sponsored by Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford. If you have a better dad joke than what Russ ended up kicking in here, get over to twodogsfab.com and email it to them, and maybe you'll hear it on my show. They have a new line of Horizon heavy-duty equipment trailers now there at Two Dogs, available in 10, 12, 14, and 20-foot lengths, sharp-looking all-black or two-tone, black and gray, and black and tan. Also, your local dealer for Iron Bull heavy-duty trailers. All right? All right. Very good. 770-563-3770-KMED. Let's do some emails of the day. Emails of the day also sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson in Central Point Family Dentistry. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com is where you can go to find out more about that. And I was just there the other day. I'm going to go again today. Yeah, Dr. Steve's my guy. And I ended up getting my teeth cleaned, and I got one pocket that's got to get really flushed out. So I ended up buying a water pick there. And you know how I was telling you that they had this kiosk over there that they sell all of this these wonderful dental supplies at wholesale cost, at his cost. So he doesn't make any money on that. He just wants to make sure that you have the water picks and the specialized toothpastes and the mouthwashes and all the rest of it. Good people. Good people there at Central Point Family Dentistry. And get your appointment today, all right? I had to go back today and get that pocket cleaned out, but now I got the water pick too, so I'm sitting there going, you know, I'd say water splashing all over the mirror, you know, that kind of thing. But it works. You got to have some maintenance on things. You know, it's kind of funny, though. When I was there getting my teeth cleaned, you know how they'll have the, you know, the Muzak going, And the music's going in the background, and it's usually some form of oldies. You know, that's the way this goes. And I think my dental hygienist, I believe, was 12, maybe going on 13. Of course, everybody looks that way when you're, you know, 63, 64, you know, like when I am, right? So she's very nice hygienist, right? And she's singing along to the Beatles songs. I think I Feel Fine was on, you know, and you know, it's like that was an old song even when I was a kid, you know? And she's singing along to it, and then Journey is on, and Steve Perry's singing When the Lights Go Down in the City, and she's singing along with it as she's cleaning the teeth. It's really interesting when you end up seeing someone in her mid-twice, and I asked her about that. I say, you know all these songs? She says, oh, yeah, my parents did this sort of stuff, which made me, of course, feel really old at this point. But a good song is a good song is a good song, I guess, even if it is 40, 50 years later. I mean, gosh, I was listening to Lights by Journey when I was a 16-year-old on an 8-track, on an 8-track in the 1970 Monte Carlo. Yeah, I know I had my dad's Cadillac a little bit earlier, and then I kind of blew that up and, you know, got the 1970 Monte Carlo, kind of rusty and crusty from a guy I worked with in Sandusky. That was kind of fun because the guy I bought it from was a pothead. His name was Chuck. Smoked weed all the time back then. No legality about that. And so I was sitting there and having to vacuum out the carpet again and again and again to try to get all of the marijuana seeds from the ditch weed that he would smoke, all the seeds out of the carpet. I wanted nothing to do with that, right? And so I'm vacuuming the seeds out. And then my little brother Mike... I love this story. My little brother Mike sees what I'm doing. He says, "What are you vacuuming out, Billy? Everything looks clean." I said, "Ah, it's the marijuana plant seeds." Well, unbeknownst to me, he grabbed a couple of those seeds and he planted them, and he put the pot in the pot pot in the window of his bedroom, this Victorian house we were living in downtown Milan, and it grew, and it grew quite happily, and it was in there in the sunshine, and it grew up there. And everything was fine until my dad's looking up at the window one day, and he's looking at this, you know, on the second floor. He's looking at this window going, what's going on? Michael, Yeah, Michael was in trouble after that. But that was Michael. My little brother, he's always the ornery rut, as it were, the ornery one. He's still that way. He was born on St. Patrick's Day, so he's a leprechaun, you know? All right. One email of the day here. Pat Krikorian. Bill, would you mind giving the address to that new wildfire map? I'm not seeing the new wildfire map. I'm not having any luck finding it by doing a Google search. Yeah, I tried doing a Google search on it first, too, Patricia. But, what happens is that there's this... there is the Oregon wildfire map part of ODF, and you can find it there. And what I did, and just to try to get it quickly, if you go to my Bill Meyer Facebook page, facebook.com/Bill Meyer, I made a separate quick post of it just a few minutes ago. The wildfire risk map is there, and the website is oregon-explorer.appsgeocortex/, and then it's got a bunch of gobbledygook, okay? So I put the link up there. I also put it in my Facebook Live post. So it's in there in one of the comments, all right? So if you want to just go to the Facebook page, I'll put it up on my KMED.com site here in a little bit too, but it's the easiest way for me to get it to you. For me to try to read it on the air just would not work, okay? 770-5633. So we have that one. What else? Where else did I want to go? All right. I know I'm kind of just wandering a little bit. Sorry about that. I'm just a little under the weather, not quite a full-blown cold, just enough to feel a little irritated, all right? Bob Hayworth writes me this morning about the 20-mile-per-hour speed limit. We were talking about that yesterday. Bill, forever driving 30 miles per hour down Central into downtown, I was surprised to get flashed for busting a 20-mile-per-hour limit that wasn't there the last time. On my way to donate 2 hours of music to the Criterion Gingerbread Jubilee in November, I now owe $165 plus $40 to take a driver safety class, which keeps the ticket off my record. Yeah, I'm happy to go via Uber to city council and tell them why I won't be visiting downtown Medford anymore. Hope that fine is worth it to those downtown businesses that will never see me again. Bob, that's the whole issue. The city of Medford is doing an incredible disservice to the business community at the same time claiming, boy, we want you to come down here. We need to make it to be, they want it to be walkable. They want it to be walkable and walkable only, essence. But, Riverside, that's a main drag. That's a main transportation corridor here in Southern Oregon. 20 miles per hour is ridiculous. It was fine for all these years. This is about that political agenda of carbon emissions and carbon-friendly, equitable community, all that kind of stuff. Or climate-friendly, equitable community. It's a bunch of BS, and it is something that the city council could resist. It also might mean that we lose some grant stream funding. I'm sure there's something, that is all connected. It's all... This communism, this climate communism is all connected. But there are roads. It's not the city's road. It just happens to be in the city. The whole idea of setting up speed limits is that the speed limit is supposed to be something which is reasonable that most people will naturally obey. Most people will naturally obey a 30-mile-per-hour speed limit downtown. It's been proven for a long, long time. You looked at what happened. Newswatch 12 ended up doing that story in which they looked at how many of the citations they were getting. There was like a less than 150 citations in that area for a couple of months, as contrasted with more than 5,000 right now. Yeah, the old speed limit was the correct speed limit.
Oh, but it's not the correct speed limit because we formed a business district.
Yeah. Yeah, a business district that won't be doing any business. 770-5633. Let me go to line one. Hi, good morning. Who's this? This is Bill.
Good morning, Bill. This is your buddy, Brad.
Hey, Brad. Good to hear from you. What's going on?
Hey, man. It's been pretty heavy this morning. I thought you could use some light info.
Okay.
I'm 70 now, and so when I was young, it was the early 70s. And you brought up marijuana seeds, and I flashed on a memory.
Did you ever grow from marijuana seeds, too, like my little brother did?
My brother did, and yeah. My mom planted them thinking they were tomatoes.
Oh,
We had to break it to her. I told my brother, get those damn things out of mom's garden.
Oh, that's funny. Did she?
It was the early 70s. I'm having a party at my neighbor's house. I lived near Fort Lewis. This kid was a good kid. He was a military kid. He invited me over to his trailer. We all had trailers. And he had, hey, I got to show you my brand new furniture. Well, in those days, it lasted for a window of time. You could buy a complete set of furniture, but you had to inflate them. They were like rubber balloons.
Oh, the inflatable ones. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that didn't go real well, though. It's not a long-term term deal.
You know, when I flash back on this, I laugh so hard, but this is a true story. We're all getting hired in kites smoking a joint. And in those days, seeds coming out of your joint was a common occurrence.
Yeah, it was not very refined, and frankly, the THC level was not nearly what they're getting right now in the current stuff.
These would be red hot. Mm-hmm. So we're sitting there conversing back and forth, and the kid's in his fancy 6-foot couch, blow-up couch, and all of a sudden he starts reclining. Well, what happened? The seeds popped holes in his furniture.
So the pot seeds got hot. They popped out of the joint, and then they melted through. Right?
The kid was the life of the party, way more than you thought he was.
Great story. Thanks for sharing that. That's a dad joke in of itself of 1970. Let me go to line two. Hi, this is Bill. Who's this? Good morning.
Well, hi, this is Peter. I was going to add to the comedy there, but first I'm going to ask you whether or not the guy who originally pursued that whole thing of how the timing was off, maybe 6 months or a year ago that you were first talking about that?
Oh, you're talking about Dr. Glenn Gemere, the area chiropractor, right?
Yeah. Did he get anywhere, or?
I believe that this class action is still in the process of being certified, and of course, the city of Medford has been trying to get this dismissed. But it's pretty clear, in my opinion, you know, looking at the facts of the case, that that intersection down by what used to be the hometown buffet, or the buffet down there, which is now the tire store, uh-huh, down by Fred Meyer, that that they did not, that it was mistimed, and it was known to be mistimed, or it was just obviously mistimed, because all you had to do was just look at the insane amount of tickets being written out of that one particular intersection as contrasted to everybody else. So anyway, it hasn't been let go of yet. I haven't talked to Dr. Gemere recently, but I will in the next day or two. I'll pop a message to him and see what the status of that is. Okay.
So the addendum to this is that my 20-something daughter, who's got her first boyfriend, and she is, right, she's 20-something, so she doesn't look at the mail. Mm-hmm. And so she's driving to go see her boyfriend, and she's gotten, now, as it turns out, she got four tickets.
Four tickets downtown.
And of course, she's 20-something, basically broke, and now she's got like $700.
Oh, my gosh.
And me and her mom are going, okay, now is this man really worth this? And can you slow down, damn it?
Yeah. Well, the other thing about this, what irritates me about the creation of the business district and reduction of the speed limit there, which is unnecessary. It's unnecessary. This is about a political agenda that the city council appears to be signing on to. The climate-friendly, equitable community. We're going to reduce emissions. We're going to, the funny thing is, though, is that, stop-and-go traffic, slower traffic that is sitting and idling more actually generates more emissions, but I don't think they want the cars coming. They want businesses. They want people coming down there, but they just don't want you driving to the city to get to it, apparently. And where I would go with this, though, is that, once again, the old limit was automatically complied by the vast majority of people. And this is a punitive, I just think it's a punitive buying into a political hogwash agenda. Okay?
Yep, all sure right. Seems like it.
All right. Good luck, and thanks. Sorry about your daughter, okay? We go to line three. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Hey, Bill, it's David.
David, welcome. What's on your mind?
Well, I don't know how no one knows this. If you get one of those speeding tickets in the mail with the camera thing, it says right on it, you know, if you weren't driving this vehicle, please tell us who was. So, you know, it doesn't say you have to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when I get them, I just say I wasn't driving the vehicle. Goodbye. And if you want to argue about it, you know, we'll go have a hearing. And they've always been dismissed. So I don't know if people can't read or what's going on, but it's you just say I wasn't driving the vehicle and mail it back to them.
Now, if you end up showing up in court and you say you don't know who's driving and it's and you don't know who's driving it and it's you, how do you deny that?
They aren't going to court over it.
They're not?
No, not if everybody files that. No, huh. But I just, if you mail it back and say you weren't driving it, they have to schedule a hearing for you. And if people really have a problem with it, just start clicking the box and, you know, have 4,000 hearings next month if we really want to do that.
But there you go. All right. So yeah. There's the strategy. There's the strategy to deal with the city of Medford's 5,000 tickets or so. Everybody ask for a hearing.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, the trick is on the letter. It's this big red lettering. It says, please provide information for who was driving your vehicle. But there's no statute. There's no requirement. It's just red letters. And this is a trick in this letter. The trick is, well, if I gotta turn in somebody or I gotta take the ticket. It's like, no, you just click the box that says I wasn't driving and mail it back and they dismiss it.
That simple, huh?
That simple.
Okay.
Yeah, they had a real nice picture of me, I promise you.
And you just wrote on it that it wasn't me and sent it in, huh?
Yeah.
Huh.
Sure. Well, it wasn't me. It looked like me, but it wasn't me.
Oh, it looked like me. Yeah, that was your clone, right?
Exactly. It was actually, I think it was a deep fake, but I can't prove it.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, David. Hi, this is Bill. Good morning. Who's this?
This is Chris.
Hey, Chris.
How's it going?
Doing well.
Kind of on the topic of this red light camera deal, I got one for you. They will make a court date, and if you do not show up, they will restrict your license. They'll go the full nine yards. I had two of them that I went through speeding, had no idea there were speeding traps. Had just moved here from Arizona. Both of my tickets went to Arizona. I never received them whatsoever. And 6 months later, I got a letter from the state saying that my license was restricted. So when I contacted the state to find out what was going on, they explained to me that I had two failure to appears and two speeding violations that were never taken care of.
Oh, so you can't really ignore it, right? You don't want to ignore that. Hmm.
No, you better know that something's going on with it. Anyways.
Yeah, yes, you must show up. You must show up and respect authority. Authority.
Well, the funny thing about it was is that so I contacted the judge and said that I never had a chance to represent myself.
Uh-huh.
I never had a chance to defend myself in this and never received them. Stated the statutes in and the law codes for the state of Oregon that says that any speed trap sign or any speed trap camera has to have a physical readout, which is why they have the little vans that have the physical readout of your speed.
Mm-hmm.
Those cameras do not have them. When I put that statute in there and explained to her if it was a financial thing, I'd pay the fines. I understand that the judge actually gets paid from those fees. She basically sent me back a letter stating that, welcome to Oregon. Glad you know the laws.
Oh.
So it's completely illegal what they're doing. It's in the Oregon state statutes that say that it has to have a readout, and they basically just don't care. I asked if I could get them reduced.
Now what that may, does that mean, though, then, that the speed cameras, which are at the corner of McAndrews and River, and not McAndrews and Biddle, because there's not a speed readout on that, that is not legal either. Then, if you're going down the same rule, if we're reading the, because you know what happens is that I know it's a red light camera. Red light cameras are allowed just to take your picture if you blow the intersection, right? We know about that. And correct. Now we know that if you go above 35 miles per hour, they're going to nail you for a speeding ticket there at that same correct. Corner. And I imagine people really are. This is not the one downtown. This is one, like I said, McAndrews and Biddle. Does that mean that those tickets are technically illegal, speeding tickets there, because there's not a speed readout
of them?
100%. Under the state of Oregon, 100% they are illegal. And my two were the ones that were over there where the new Discount Tire is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was from there. Like I said, I've had a commercial license for 25 years. This is my first ticket whatsoever or violations of any sort. And the good old state of Oregon just really doesn't.
Why? How interesting that the city of Medford then first had the timing of those South Medford cameras illegally done, or wasn't done to statute, and then is doing this. This is quite interesting. Quite interesting if this is true. Now, I'm taking your word for it. I have not gone down this.
Look it up. You can look it up. It's underneath. If you just even type in speeding camera state of Oregon, they'll give you the statute. You can find it right there online.
All right. I'll take a look. Thanks for the call. We'll have news next. State Representative Dwayne Junker was to talk about, bit of big changes here in the city of Grants Pass when it comes to the homeless and the funding for that. It's all coming up.
Since 1938, Blue Star Gas has been serving Jackson and Josephine counties for all your residential and commercial propane needs. That's a long time and for good reason. Blue Star Gas employees live, play, and volunteer.
Advisories in effect for Grants Pass, Medford, and most of Southern Oregon now through Friday. The Weather Service says strong valley inversions will result in weak winds and poor ventilation, trapping pollutants at ground level. Bill London, KMED.
743. Tony, you have a solution for the downtown Medford speeding problem there. What do you think?
I have to drive downtown all the time. And when I get to those spots, I always slow down and go whatever the traffic's doing. Mm-hmm. But for the people that called up today, if you want to get those Groucho Marx glasses and just drive around Medford, and this way when you get a picture of you, you just say, yeah, that's not me.
Huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Put on the fake nose and the glasses and things like that. Rather than the Groucho Marx, maybe what you got to do is put on that, what is that V for Vendetta? Do you ever see that movie, V for Vendetta, the Guy Fawkes map or mask? Remember those?
Yeah, anything to describe, disguise you.
Yeah. Then what they'll probably do is say that you're wearing a mask and then you're reducing your vision. I'm trying to think of what the state would then come back at you and say, but I'll take that under advisement, all right? Appreciate the call, Tony. It's 7:45. State Rep Dwayne Junker, former city councilor. He joins me here in a minute.
Millett Construction has been a general contractor for 40 years. For the last 20 years, they've specialized in foundation repair and replacement. If you have sloping floors, cracks in walls, and windows and doors that are hard to open, you have a foundation problem that's only getting worse. At Millett Construction, they not only fix your foundation and level your house, they solve the water problem that's causing the damage. Get on solid ground. Call Millett Construction for a free estimate. Visit MillettConstruction.com. CCB number 32787.
Looking for your next adventure? From the rugged Subaru Outback to the versatile Subaru Forester, Southern Oregon Subaru has the perfect vehicle for you. Plus, we're offering a lifetime powertrain warranty on all new Subarus. Whether it's mountain roads or city streets, drive with peace of mind. Visit Southern Oregon Subaru today and find the perfect new Subaru for you. The service contract is not provided or backed by the manufacturer of the vehicle. The manufacturer of the vehicle is not responsible for claims or repairs under the service contract.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting great candidates? It seems impossible to find them. Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Hi, I'm Charlene, owner of American Industrial Door, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
746. State Representative and former Grants Pass City Councilor Dwayne Junker on the program. Dwayne, welcome back. Good to have you on. Morning.
Good morning, Bill.
By the way, Dwayne, apologies for when I was reading that KOBI article, the way it looked to my eyes as I was reading it was an error on my part, but it looked like you had said go F yourself, but it was somebody at the meeting that said go F yourself about the homeless situation, right? Was that the story?
That was correct. He was wearing a Free Palestine jacket, had Free Palestine with a big old loop in his nose, screaming as he's being pushed out the door, telling me to go F myself.
Oh, okay. All right. Good. Sorry about the error there, but I corrected that right away. But although I imagine you may have thought that internally, but thinking it internally and saying it out there in the city council meeting is one thing. Completely different.
I tried to refrain from cussing.
Yeah. Kind of okay. Well, you know, but one of the things I like about you, we nicknamed you the junkyard dog. You know, every now and then, you bite the junkyard dog. The junkyard dog's going to snarl. Okay, it's just the way that is.
I did snarl at a few people last night.
You did. Okay.
They were being interruptive, or I had to listen to them speak, but they didn't want to listen to me speak, and they were talking when I was talking, and I was a little irritated.
Yeah, if you could, though, break down the festivities here, because it was a 5-2 vote, and there, essentially, the idea of this low-barrier shelter for the city of Grants Pass is now dead. I mean, it's just dead and gone, right? It's over at this point?
Yeah, what people didn't understand is when the old council and mayor tried to cram down the shelter, at the last minute, there's a stipulation that the buildings had to be approved, the inspection had to be approved by the council.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we were doing last night. But the buildings are in such poor condition. These buildings are built in, I think, 1940, and they have asbestos. And one of the buildings, the electrical can't even be turned on because it's the fire department will not allow it to be on. So they have structural issues, mold, asbestos.
So this would be a bad house to buy, period, in the first place, right?
Exactly. I'm a licensed principal broker, real estate broker, and I'm like, I'm not a contractor, but I after a while, you start to understand construction a little bit. You know what I'm saying? This is a bad deal.
Okay. All right. And does this mean that the idea of a low-barrier shelter is dead? And I know you're not on the council now, but do you think that the mood on the council is to want to move forward on something like this? Because there's definitely a different feel with this incoming council than there was with the old council. I think you can agree. And the old council was very much more playing the part of mommy, and maybe the new one is daddy. I don't know. How do you see it?
I think the new council, I like to look at this as we're not against homeless people. We're against the conduct of these people, and that's what needs to be dealt with as a conduct. If someone truly needs help, let's help them, but we're not going to put up with the conduct in our city here.
What kind of conduct are you having that is raising this to the point where you're pulling the funding from Mint on this?
Well, I don't think the conduct, the Mint funding was due to the funding of Mint. I think the Mint was a separate issue. They came to the city, and you got to remember, this has been a dream of former Mayor Bristol to have a shelter, low barrier shelter in Grants Pass.
And make sure that people understand, though, low barrier shelter means that essentially drug abuse and everything else is allowed there. It's very few rules, isn't that the deal?
Yeah, and what people don't understand, like these, wherever you put these things, the community around it is going to be. They're going to feel the impact. Bi-Mart was starting to feel the impact already. I mean, they've had people breaking in, people stealing stuff, feces, trash, all the stuff around these places, because these people take. They take. And they abuse everybody around them. And I don't – this is my problem with the homeless industrial complex is it's like the homeless get everything, and the rest of us in the community – take the abuse. And that shouldn't be the way, because we're paying the taxes. We have the businesses. We have the children and everything else. But everything's for the homeless. Well, what are they doing for our community to be a good citizen? And I don't see that happening. They're just hurting us. In December, they broke into a little warehouse. They were housing bikes to give to children, and they stole the bikes. That was near the J Street. The businesses next to the J Street camp are being abused by the theft and the damage to their property, and no one cares. They just ignore it.
Hmm. What percentage of the homeless would you venture, former counselor, are really causing the issues? Because I was watching some TV coverage of what was going on during the big heavy rainstorms. And they were focusing, I think it was the one, was it the one on J Street, the campsite, that had a lot of water problems there. And they were complaining, homeless were there complaining that the rocks were poking through their, you know, the floors of their tents and making life very difficult. And, you know, and that's kind of an issue. I could see that being, you know, a real issue. Is that the kind of campsite you're talking about? And is everybody there or most of the people there, you know, causing these crimes? Or is it this small percentage of it that's causing the problems, and why can't we take care of them?
So I have a lot of conversations with law enforcement and other things, and then I drive down there and I watch the behavior of these people. Now, you're not going to get, you know, I can only take what the conversation happened with my eyes see. If you listen to the advocates of the homeless, these are all good people. They're just down and out on their luck. Mm-hmm. I would disagree with that extremely, because I grew up poor and we didn't steal and, you know, do things to our neighbors. That's just not what we do as people. You know, we have a code of, you know, being a good neighbor.
Yeah, that is interesting. My wife grew up of very modest means too. And that doesn't mean that you can't act classy and follow the law, right?
Yeah, there's no reason to take advantage of your neighbor, steal their stuff, you know, damage their stuff, burglarize. But those things are contribute to drug use, because you need money to do drugs or mental health. And there's all these excuses of why we should do things. And I'm really looking at the states that are doing the worst for homelessness. It's the blue states. And what are the blue states doing? They're coddling. They're the housing first model. This is not working in the blue states. You know, the states that are working the best are the ones that are going after the conduct, the poor conduct. You go to Florida or Texas or somewhere, you know, they have a mixture, but there is a conduct holding people accountable for their action. Look at California. They're even changing a little bit in California. San Francisco just came out with an article that said they're going to stop giving money to people that don't pass a drug test. They also just passed a law that says they're going to increase the sentencing for bad behavior. I think they're starting to realize something. Here in Oregon, we're not realizing it yet.
Interesting. You know, point. Are you, or what risk or what liability is City of Grants Pass possibly taking on by not having a low barrier shelter? Is there a liability problem if they don't have one?
Well, the law does not say you have to have a low barrier shelter. I think
it doesn't.
It says you need to be objectively reasonable. That is very vague and up to the eye of the beholder. Objectively reasonable for resting. It says only resting. Mm. This thing about camping, and that's not in the law. It talks about resting. Objectively, you basically have to give them a time to rest. You know, Ashton has they have many things, but they also have only overnight resting by their police station. So to say we have to give them a campsite or a low barrier shelter is false. That is not in the law. I've gone to this law so many times. I've talked to other attorneys. Objectively reasonable. I personally think you look at objectively, you also have to look at what's objectively reasonable to the people around them, the community. That's what's, you know, what are they doing to the, you know, are they harming others? So we got to look at those when it talks about objectively reasonable. And if reasonable is not happening, we need to adjust. I think that's what happened last night. It's like, you know what? J Street camping site or resting site is not objectively reasonable. It's hurting everyone. And then we're going to move to a, you know, only overnight on 7th Street. Like you, I've heard you say this, there is beds available at the Mission. That's a choice that you don't want to go.
Okay. Now I want to find out though. Yeah. I've said that. And is that still true? I mean, in spite of the problems when it was all rainy and stuff, did the rescue Mission run out of beds at any time that you're aware of? Just curious.
I just actually left a meeting with the missions director.
Okay.
No, they still got beds there. There is beds available. They just don't want to follow those rules. And it's funny, like, well, they're religious, but you'll take food from the religious things. You'll do all the other things, but you just don't want to follow their rules. It just comes down to conduct. I had lunch with a judge yesterday, and he deals with a lot of this stuff. And he says it really comes down, they don't want to follow any rules. They want this nomad kind of a lifestyle, come and do as they please.
What about the issue of now? This just popped in my head. I can't help but notice that a lot of homeless people have dogs. They have dogs or some form of pet. Is a dog something which keeps them out of a shelter? Just curious.
It would keep them out of the Mission. That's for sure.
Yeah, and I understand the way many of the homeless would tend to look at a dog as a necessity for security, but they would also probably look at it as a warning, because there's a lot of crime that would happen in a lot of these homeless encampments when you're out there on the street. And yet, so drugs will keep you from being inside the Gospel Rescue Mission, and having a dog would keep you also, right? I just want to make sure we understand that.
Yeah, but that's their choice.
Mm-hmm.
It goes down to that's their choice. They rather not go to the shelter because they have a dog, or they don't want to follow rules. Why is that the community's responsibility, because you choose not to make that change? Why do we have to have, because you'll never make enough accommodations for these people.
Unless you have a place which is essentially Camp Anarchy, right? Camp Anarchy in the Grants Pass, Camp Anarchy in Medford, whatever. I don't mean to be flippant about it, but it does seem a bit this way. What about the car camping issue? Now, the city had made some accommodations for that, for people who are homeless who had a vehicle to be overnight in some places. Is that still going to continue from what you know?
They passed. I wasn't really for it. I didn't think it was a good idea, but they passed the ordinance that would allow people to allow, businesses or churches to allow car camping and, on their properties, and some rules there. And not one person, not one entity has ever applied in over a year to do this. I would say, well, these people are probably pretty smart, because they don't want the liability of what happens there.
Mm-hmm.
If not one person came forward to the city to say, hey, we want to do this, then that's got to tell you something. They don't want to do it, but why should the city do it? If not one entity, not a church, nothing wants to do this, why would why should the city take this on? I really look back to that. When they say the city, it's the taxpayers. Why do the taxpayers have to be continuously, nickel and dime from these entities? That's not the responsibility of the city to do. The city is there for safety. That's the first thing of the government. Look at the Constitution. It's not about all these niceties. It's about the necessities that you must have in a civilized city.
Yeah. You have a right to rest. That is essentially what the Supreme Court said. You have a right to rest. It doesn't necessarily mean a right to take over property in a city or a certain amount of property.
Yeah. If you look at my press release, the city has done a lot of things to try to help with homelessness and food security, insecurities and things like that. But you just can't say the taxpayers must, provide everything for you. That's basically, we're going into socialism, that, the government will take care of you and you can live whatever lifestyle. But the government doesn't make money. The government takes money from people
and then redistributes. Now, speaking of which here, do you think that this is going to be an issue coming up in the state legislature, given that you are a state rep for the area?
Oh, I have two bills to try to reform or go back on, what, because we're the only state that has the law about the objectively reasonable. And I would say that people like Pam Marsh and Ashland are going to try to make it more extreme. I've kind of heard that, and they just love to punish the taxpayers. I think that's what they're going to do. And it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt cities. It's going to hurt the cities in Oregon, unless you live way out in the middle of Burns or somewhere like mom and dad live, because there's no resources out there. Then you're going to start flocking to the areas. I was in Bend in December, and you know, they've got all these resources, and there's still homeless people there, and the tents are still there.
I find it interesting that, like I said, California seems to be coming out of the trough, the depths of despair, trying to climb out a little bit. Oregon seems to be a little bit behind on that curve, still going into the trough, right?
The housing first model.
They got stupid first, we got stupid second, so they're going to get smarter second and we get smarter second, I guess. Hopefully, I don't know. Maybe we can find a way through this. All right, State Rep. Dwayne Junker, I appreciate you taking the call and thanks for coming on the show. Okay, you be well.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah. Have a good one. Bye.
Yeah. We'll stay in touch. This is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. This is the Bill Meyer Show.
You may need extra time at Freddy's Diner.